Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. And when your country gets a PMI reading of 51, it does indicate generally a very hopeful and optimistic expansion for your country's manufacturing industry. But not in the case of China, especially over the last couple of months. And though China's PMI numbers came in for the month of May at a very healthy 51 reading, it still came in slightly below what some economists were actually expecting. Could this actually mean that the economic rebound for China might be in for a bit of a pause in the months to come? Well, we're joined by Mr. Tommy Wu, who's the lead economist at Oxford Economics. He's here to tell us what he made of those numbers and what he thinks this might actually spell for a number of industrial economies in the region, including here in Singapore. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these very uncertain times out in Hong Kong. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Monday.
Thank you, JP.
Give us your thoughts on China's PMI release early. How did this number, though, stack up to your expectations? And what extra information might this lend, actually, to China's economic outlook and recovery?
So I think today's PMI readings are actually broadly consistent with what I've been expecting, in the sense that they actually indicate that China's economy is still going through a soft patch. Yes, 51 is still in the expansionary territory, with 50 being neutral. So 51 is above 50. But the PMI reading is actually slower than in previous months. And it's pointing to the fact that maybe there's a somewhat of a slower expansion in manufacturing. And also, if we look at the non-manufacturing PMI, it actually picked up, but it's mainly driven by the construction activities, whereas for services, it's still expanding, but a bit slower, again, than in April. So that is actually indicating a couple of things. One is the headwinds that China is facing, including domestically, but also in terms of the export momentum is kind of waning a little bit, and also higher commodity prices are weighing on industrial activities as well.
Right. And again, these input prices accompanying the resurgent manufacturing activity in China. This is also highlighted by the sudden uptick in commodity prices. I'd like to stay on that point there, Tommy. Do comment on this. And if these might be, again, signs of a possible overheating in China, could there actually be signs that perhaps the economic recovery in China might be getting a little too ahead of itself? What are your thoughts? Or do you think that might be just a little bit of an overreach?
It is worrying that the rise in commodity prices are going to affect, say, industrial profits in certain sectors. Now, but the thing about the rise in commodity prices recently, well, partly it has to do with the somewhat of an overheating in the domestic demand, especially towards the end of last year. But, you know, the rise in commodity prices is not just in China, but it's a global phenomenon, mainly because not just because of China, but also because of a revival in global demand, especially given the prospect of the U.S. and Eurozone reopening in the summer. And also partly because of speculative activities surrounding these arguments, based on these arguments, basically. They would affect, say, China's downstream profits, especially. So this is worth an attention, actually. But something that's hopeful, at least recently, is that the Chinese government is coming out to intervene the domestic commodity market so that hopefully it can tame down commodity prices a little bit domestically.
And this is something that the Chinese government wanted to address. And as we know, China also the biggest consumer of many commodities in the world. They did say they want to try and cool this down. Can you talk to us about how might they be able to do that? And I think this might also matter for listeners here in Singapore who track iron ore futures, which are traded on the SGX here. How do you think China might actually be able to try and cool down rising commodity prices?
So at the moment, the Chinese government is having meetings with SOEs and industry leaders in the commodity space, to discuss the situation and also try to ramp up the rhetoric on speculative activities. And actually, some of the commodity exchanges in China are also implementing tougher oversight on commodity spot and futures markets. So these interventions have actually tamed down commodity prices recently. So if you look at steel prices within China, they have actually fallen by 20% as of now, comparing to their peak in early May. So, you know, at the very micro level, it seems that these interventions are sufficient to curb commodity price increase, at least within China. So in the near term, it seems that there is no need for monetary policy to step in. And just to remind you that right now, credit growth in China is actually slowing. So any additional pressures on monetary tightening is actually a downside risk to domestic growth recovery.
All right. We're listening to Tommy Wu, the lead economist at Oxford Economics here in Money FM 89.3 to talk about China's PMI numbers and also the outlook for industrial production in the region or the industrial space across the Asia Pacific. Now, despite recent hiccups, though, Tommy, with regards to COVID-19 in the region, industrial production and exports from Asia's notable economies have actually remained rather strong and expansive. You take a look at South Korea's 20-day exports, including non-oil domestic exports here in Singapore. We've seen it actually fare quite well. Of course, as we know, Singapore itself dealing with a new uptick in COVID-19 cases. South Korea also trying to keep, bring COVID-19 in their country to heal. Why do you think the industrial output, at least in these economies, why do you think they've stayed rather resilient? And can they continue given how persistent COVID-19 has become in recent times in these two particular countries?
I think the strong momentum is actually driven by very strong external demand, given the recovery in the U.S. and also possibly in Europe after the soft patch that they have seen in the first quarter. And also, the other thing is South Korea and Singapore are manufacturing hubs of semiconductors, which are right now at the heart of the global supply chains for many products, including mobile phones, computers, cars, etc. So, given the, there are supply chain hiccups at the moment, but also there's strong demand for all these products. So the demand for semiconductors in particular and electronics products in general are very strong and is beneficial to South Korea and Singapore. Now, on the other hand, COVID resurgence in across Asia obviously is a downside to domestic demand, in particular private consumption. But at least on the external front, things are still very strong, and also I think a lot of countries are still trying to keep their industrial sites or manufacturing sites up and running in order to serve these very strong external demand. So on the one hand, domestic demand would be weaker, but on the other hand, export outlook will continue to be pretty strong for the rest of the year and probably very well into next year.
Right. Tommy, it's a very different landscape now as compared to the last time we spoke. I believe a few months ago, Hong Kong was battling with an uptick in COVID-19 cases, while Singapore was looking very, very rosy. In fact, ranked by Bloomberg as one of the safest, if not the safest place actually to be during COVID-19. But in the span of 6 weeks, we've seen things actually reverse. Hong Kong, for the first time, recording zero local transmissions. As we know, Singapore having to enact some of their strictest social restrictions since last year's circuit breaker to try and combat the recent uptick in COVID-19 cases here. Now, these local social restrictions might not need to be exacerbated or tightened anymore, at least according to government officials here. But how serious might this have actually in undermining the country's economic rebound? Because as we know, the recent social restrictions here are set to take to be set in place until June 13. That's practically 4 weeks. How is this actually impacting Oxford Economics' outlook for the Singaporean economy now, given the recent curbs?
Yeah, so at Oxford Economics, we think that given the renewed COVID outbreak, all these renewed restrictions being in place again, private consumption and fixed investment growth will fall quarter on quarter in the second quarter. But we think that the recovery for Singapore is more of a delay rather than being derailed. And actually, we have downgraded growth, 2021's GDP growth by just 0.7 percentage point to 6.4% for the whole year of 2021 for Singapore. So, you know, growth is now less than previously expected, but it's still faster than most of Southeast Asian countries for this year, because Singapore is still, you know, doing much better in terms of containing the virus. And so and there's a huge household savings that are readily for spending, maybe in the second half of this year or into next year. So Singapore's situation is relatively better than, say, other Asian countries, where they're still battering with COVID cases, rising COVID cases, and also they have been less successful in doing so. And also they could be less benefited from the external environment than Singapore does, just for the reasons that I've mentioned earlier as well, like because of the demand for electronics globally, that's going to benefit Singapore more than, say, you know, other countries in Southeast Asia.
All right. Tommy Wu, lead economist for the Asia-Pacific region at Oxford Economics. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about China's PMI figures and also the industrial outlook, at least, for major economies in the region, including here in Singapore. Tommy, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times, and we look forward to next time we can have you join us on the show. Meanwhile, try to stay safe out there in Hong Kong and have a great week ahead, sir.
Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.